Gummer Joba Tenderloin. This is Tapealpod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the main branch of the San Francisco Public Library. Today is Thursday, the 8th of May, 2014. On this date, in 1541, DeSoto reaches the Mississippi. In 1886, the carbonated beverage called Coca-Cola was first sold as a patent medicine. In 1919, a moment of silence commemorates armistice of World War I, which later results in the creation of Remembrance Day in the United States. It was called Armistice Day and is now Veterans Day. 1933, Gandhi begins a 21-day fast in protest against the British rule in India. 1945, Victory in Europe, or VE Day, is celebrated in America and Britain. 1945, on that same day, thousands of Algerian civilians are killed by French soldiers in the Sétif massacre. Birthdays today are poet Phyllis Wheatley, President Harry Truman, musician Robert Johnson, comic Don Rickles, and Hellraiser Naomi Klein. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen, nobody of any consequence posted to the forum, but if you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tapealpod.com or send us an email at tapealpod@gmail.com. Be sure to take a look at the database. You will find tons of cool stuff. Following up on last week's story about the anti-discrimination bill, on the 2nd of May, with the third and final hearing, Parliament passed the bill prohibiting any kind of discrimination. All MPs voted in favor of the bill. The newly adopted laws ban discrimination based on race, sex, citizenship, religion, political affiliation, sexual orientation, gender, identity, etc. However, following criticism to the draft from the Orthodox Church, the Georgian Dream modified it by adding a new passage with terminology regarding protection of public morality. On the 7th of May, President Georgi Margvelashvili signed the bill into law. Regarding the bill, in a speech in Tbilisi's Samipa Cathedral, Patriarch Ilya II spoke out against the adoption of the bill, saying that legalization of illegality is a huge sin. Exactly. And that not a single believer, and I'm quoting, not a single believer will accept such a law. On the 3rd of May, transgender people demonstrated outside of Trialeti TV station in Gori because they were not allowed to take part in the debate hosted at the station regarding the new anti-discrimination law. Locals also came to Trialeti TV building, but to demonstrate against the transgender people themselves, accusing them of betraying Christianity and calling out Judas. This led to a verbal confrontation between the two groups, but police came and managed to separate them. Trialeti TV invited both supporters and opponents of the law for a debate. News anchor Gvansa Doluashvili said the transgender people asked her to invite them on the show, but she explained that she had already invited people representing their position to the debate. After the argument outside the studio, representatives of Trialeti offered the transgender people the opportunity to participate in the third segment of the show, but they refused, saying that they had already expressed their opinion by holding a rally. Researchers at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention reported that scientists identified new cases of never-before-seen smallpox virus in Georgia. The herdsmen, a smallpox-related virus in Georgia. Two herdsmen came into contact with sick cattle and were infected with the previously unknown orthopox virus. Both of the herdsmen survived the infection. The symptoms include swollen lymph nodes, weakness, fever, and blisters on the hands and arms. There's not yet been evidence of human-to-human transmission of this virus, but little is known about it so far. The researchers also noted that they identified a third person in another part of the country who was likely infected with this new orthopox-type virus, who was originally thought to have had anthrax. Related viruses, such as cowpox, can be deadly for people with suppressed immune systems. Smallpox had a fatality rate of about 30% before the illness was eradicated in 1980. Although smallpox was eliminated in the wild, stories of the virus still exist. Stores of the virus still exist in a few American and Russian laboratories, and there's growing concern that it could be used for bioterrorism. The new wild strain of the virus doesn't yet have a name. Rustavi Odi accused the government of wiretapping and spying on its management and journalists. Nika Gvaramia, the director of Rustavi Odi, who's a former member of parliament, also a former minister of education and deputy chief prosecutor, said that a current employee of the Interior Ministry gave them material that allegedly shows that he and Rustavi Odi anchor Nino Shabladze are being secretly monitored. According to him, they tried to find spying equipment on their own, but only found special covert holes, not actual video cameras. Later the same day, Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili responded that the surveillance accusations are false. Justice Minister Tetsu Lukiani called for an immediate investigation into the Rustavioti case, and Public Defender Ucha Nanuashvili said his office would closely follow the case. The prosecutor's office said it has launched an investigation into the claim and called Rustavioti to cooperate with the investigation in order to find out the origin of the video recordings, as well as to identify those involved in the possible crime as quickly as possible. On the 2nd of May, Labour Party leader Shalva Natalashvili initially left his post of chairman of the party. End of an era there, man. He announced his decision at a party congress held in Tbilisi and spoke about the importance of the upcoming local elections on the 15th of June and urged his party to win. But later the same day, Natalashvili was elected for the post of chairman for the fifth time. Thank goodness. As a reminder, the Labour Party named actress Asma Tabladze as Tbilisi mayoral candidate for the local elections. The presidents of Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Turkey met in Tbilisi for a trilateral summit on the 6th of May. During the meeting, the three countries said that they would do everything to ensure Europe's energy and regional security, focusing on the importance of major joint energy and transportation projects such as the Baku-Tbilisi-Ceyhan pipeline, Baku-Tbilisi-Kars railway project, and the construction of the Trans-Adriatic Shah Deniz II gas pipeline. Turkish President Abdullah Gül held bilateral talks with his counterpart Mark Velashvili and expressed strong support for Georgia's NATO integration. On the 3rd of May, the brother of the wanted former head of Kudi, Erekle Kodua, was brutally beaten in Tbilisi. According to witnesses, Dato Kodua was attacked and beaten by masked men while on the street. He was hospitalized with severe injuries. Later the same day, police detained suspect Noshiko Namoradze, who is the founder of a construction company, Tiflis Development. The suspect's wife, Nino Sutidze, said that in 2008, people broke into their house and planted 15 grams of heroin on the orders of Erekle Kodua. She claimed Dato Kodua wanted her husband's shares in the company, but that he refused, and that Kodua planted the drugs in their home to have a reason to detain him. According to her, her husband was released after they made him pay 500,000 lari and forced him to give up 50% of the company's shares. After the change of government in 2012, the husband and wife sued, and an investigation was launched. Sutidze claimed that during the incident on the 3rd of May, her husband surrendered to police and that he wasn't wearing a mask. In a confession published by the Interior Ministry, the suspect said he saw Kodua on the street by chance, and that the events of 2008, his previous detention and the deprivation of 50% of his shares, was the motivation for him to beat up Kodua. On the 5th of May, Tbilisi City Court placed Namoradze in pretrial detention. Prime Minister Irakli Khatabashvili accused Georgian NGOs which support anti-wiretapping reforms of attacking his government. The NGOs demanded a package of legislative charges that will ensure stricter punishment for illegal wiretapping and spying, and also restrict police use of intrusive measures during investigations. The NGOs already proposed a law package to Parliament a year ago, but it has not been discussed yet. Because of the delay, the NGOs launched a campaign called They Still Listen to Us to bring public attention to the government wiretapping. Khatabashvili said the campaign is undermining the country's image and added that the NGOs are engaging in anti-government activity together with Misha's party. Oddly enough, he continued that it was he who ordered his advisor, Mindia Janjiladze, to work on the draft and called on Parliament to pass the bill as soon as possible. Lasha Tuhushi, editor-in-chief of newspaper Resonansi and one of the co-authors of the draft law, said it was thoughtless of Khatabashvili to say that the campaign is dangerous for the government's interests. Nino Lomjadia, the head of ISFED, said that the prime minister's statement undermines the government, not the campaign. By the way, I think Geocell pushed back at the government's having a tap on their servers, which is clearly illegal, and were punished by a tax audit. FYI. The Central Election Commission rejected the UNM's request to use its trademark number 5 on the ballot papers in the local elections in June. The CEC explained that the election code requires that all parties in an election block participated in the previous parliamentary election. In this case, UNM is competing in a block, including the Christian Conservative Party, which had not competed in the previous elections, and for this reason, UNM was not given the number 5 on the ballot as they requested. UNM plans to appeal to court and protest the decision, saying the government created restrictive conditions within which the UNM can conduct its election campaign. Yeah, this is just incredibly petty for them to have done this. And is very similar to the things that happened before, but that doesn't mean it should happen. It's a real indictment of the CEC that they would do that. According to a recent NDI report, 77% of respondents support Georgia's accession to the EU, 72% support joining NATO. As for the future of Georgia's accession to NATO, 14% believe that the process will last for 4 years, 24% think that Georgia will be accepted into NATO after 2018, 21% think that it will never happen, 40% found it difficult to answer. However, 6% of respondents support Georgia's joining the Russian-Eurasian Union. 33% believe that Georgia has more to gain from European integration. With regards to relations with Russia, only 9% fully agree with the position that Georgia has more to gain from normalizing relations with Russia than from the European integration. The study was conducted between the 26th of March and the 18th of April. 4,000 people were interviewed throughout Georgia. The family of deceased diplomat Levon Mikheladze said that he did not die from natural causes. Mikheladze, who was a Georgian ambassador to Switzerland, died on April 2009, reportedly of a heart attack. Mikheladze resigned from his post in protest after Misha dispersed a peaceful demonstration in Tbilisi on November 2007. His family suspects he was killed. As his brother was denied the ability to conduct an independent autopsy, he said a stranger visited Mikheladze before his death. European Commissioner for Enlargement and European Neighborhood Policy Stefan Füle stated that the EU is going to allocate an additional 3 million euro to Georgia so that the country can seize the benefits and opportunities of the association agreement, which the EU and Georgia are set to sign in June. Funding was made available under the More for More mechanism that's working very well, by the way, which provides additional funds to those Eastern European partnership countries which make more progress in reforms in institutional modernization and the protection of minority rights in order to meet the standards required of the association agreement. During an interview with the Azeri news site Hakin.az, Misha accused the West of using double standards when it comes to democracy and exerting political pressure on some countries. The journalist commented that Azerbaijan was not in a simple geopolitical situation. On one side, the West demands ephemeral democracy, while on the other, Russia is exerting pressure on the region. Misha replied that the West often has double standards, forgetting about democracy and human rights when it comes to Saudi Arabia or Qatar, but remembering that human rights and democracy are important when they talk about Azerbaijan. Government approved President Georgi Margvelashvili's decree to shift Police Day from the 6th of May to the 3rd of May. Misha had set the date for Police Day on the 6th of May back in 2010. He was often accused of usurping Georgoba since St. George's Day is also on the 6th of May. Tbilisi City Assembly announced plans to sign a memorandum funded by British and Lithuanian companies for the purpose of dismantling Khrushchev-era apartment buildings. According to the chairman of the City Council, Leocadie Shikhiashvili, the memorandum was conducted with the British company Rothschild. Shikhiashvili representatives of the Union of Architects will discuss a Tbilisi development concept plan prepared by the architects, which will then be submitted to City Hall. A similar project by Shikhiashvili to dismember the Khrushchevkas was announced in March earlier this year with plans that a wealthy Arab investor would fund the project for 600 million lattes, but no further announcements have been made about that. NGO Young Barristers accused the previous government of misspending 1 million lattes collected at a charity dinner in Tbilisi in 2011 following the premiere of a film about the 2008 Russian-Georgian War. According to the NGO, the funds received were not given to victims of the 2008 war as they were supposed to be, but used to the benefit of interests of UNM. The Business Association of Georgia organized the event, 160 guests, but mainly politicians and businessmen attended, each paid 10,000 lati to attend. Georgia scored its best ranking in 15 years. Independent watchdog organization Freedom House's annual Freedom of the Press survey. For 2014, Georgia moved up to the 47th position from the 49th in the previous year. Survey lists Georgia as partly free, but the country is still the leader in media freedoms in the region since 1999. Freedom of the Press report covers developments in 2013 and assesses the level of press freedom in 197 countries and territories. Between the 29th of April and the 2nd of May in Brussels, Bastion Tower, there was a presentation of the project Europe Meets Georgia. The aim of the project is to create a Georgian cultural center in the EU capital and to promote Georgian culture, cuisine, and traditions, and to present Georgia as a major tourist destination for the wider international community of Brussels and European Union countries. A proposed new medical establishment and university will be opened in Batumi with Turkish money. According to the health minister of Ajada, in September 2014, a medical establishment of modern standards will be built with a multidisciplinary clinic designed for 100 beds where patients will be offered cardiological services along with almost all kinds of medical services. The volume of the investment allocated in the project is still unknown. A church collapsed in the village of Ahaltsopeli in the Ajada region. Four workers were trapped under the rubble. Two died as a result of the collapse. A St. George church in Ajada was under construction for 4 years. The head of the tourism administration, Gio Sigua, announced the major electronic music festival, Kazantip, which is annually held in Crimea, will move to the seaside town of Anaklia, Georgia this year. The festival will probably be held in August. Kazantip is one of the largest electronic dance music festivals on the territory of the former USSR, which since the mid-90s was held in Crimea in late summer. In parliamentary news, the parliament adopted the amendments in the law on broadcasting. According to the changes, the Georgian public broadcaster will become two-chambered. This means the current board will remain within the broadcaster as a monitoring council, and the new board, which will be approved by parliament, will have control over all the functions. The monitoring council will be eligible to provide the new board with recommendations on different issues. The move comes after the Constitutional Court ruled last month that the parliament's previous decision to terminate the authority of the old board before their term was over was unconstitutional. The monitoring council will remain within the GPB until the end of its latest member's term. And this is just a way to sideline the previously appointed under the old government members of the GPB. Let's see how that body ends up being. But I don't think it's going to be very independent because everybody independent the current government refused to vote for. In Kvitis Azrebi this week, journalist Ninia Kakabadze talked about the anti-discrimination bill signed by Parliament. According to Ninia, the Georgian Orthodox Church, Ilya II, and politicians who oppose the bill are hindering the country's development and future prosperity. During her speech, she underlined the lack of knowledge about homosexuals in Georgian society, particularly regarding government officials who publicly equate LGBT people with child abusers, which is very common in Georgia for whatever reason and is inaccurate, and that they anger society and misdirect people to choose Russia over LGBT-friendly Europe or the EU. Meme this week is a collection of black and white photos of massages in the baths of Tbilisi from 1890. It was much circulated. Take a look. Things to read, an article on CRRC's blog about trust in institutions in the South Caucasus. According to the article, trust in institutions has often been thought of as negatively related to perceptions of corruption in political institutions. Every year, TI Georgia publishes a corruption perception index, which ranks countries from highly corrupt to very clean. Perceptions of corruption in the three South Caucasus countries have shifted over the years. The level of corruption in Georgia has been perceived as lower than the levels of corruption in Armenia since 2007. Trust in institutions is lower in Armenia than in Azerbaijan, which has the lowest ranking out of the three countries on the CPI. NDI had a pre-election delegation that included Per Eklund, former head of the EU in Georgia, Sam Gageson, NDI board member and rock star, Robert Adams and Laura Jewett, Luis Navarro of NDI staff. The statement is out, nothing earth-shattering. The CEC should be more transparent with funds, impartial and comprehensive investigations, fix the local government law and the election law and the voter list, have a national population registry. The political leadership should more loudly renounce violence by their supporters, all of which are, of course, true. Article in Transparify.org about the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia. Congratulations, TI. Transparify ranks and discusses transparency of NGOs and think tanks themselves and has said that TI Georgia is one of the best. The head of the NGO, Eka Gigaoti, explains how her organization uses Transparify about its own finances, transparency about its own finances to boost its credibility. an article by journalist Mari Nikuradze in Democracy and Freedom Watch about the village Erisimedi, a small village in the Georgia on the Georgia-Azerbaijan border with a population of just a few hundred people. The town belongs to the Georgian municipality of Sekhnahi, but lacks a clear demarcation on the border with Azerbaijan, which has caused problems for farmers and even led to an incident in which a teenager was shot. Check out Chase Studenmeier's blog, chasestudenmeier.us, to get weekly summaries of Georgian news. You can find an interview with Kenneth Yalowitz, U.S. Ambassador to Georgia from 1998 to 2001, as well as news updates from the week of the 2nd of May. Check out the Travel House Project on Indiegogo.com by the Travel Club. Started in 2005, the Travel Club published a book of travel stories, carried out a number of expeditions, lectures, talks, and photo exhibitions, and organized two travel houses where they rent a house where travelers can stay for free. This year, they plan to organize a travel house in Tbilisi for July and August. They intend to raise $4,600 by the 20th of June. The fifth episode of Eurasianet.org's Tamadon Tales by Georgi Lomsadze, profiling Iran's forbidden rockers. Struggling with state repression on rock music, Iranian heavy metal band Masters of Persia left Iran in 2011. After a stint in Armenia, the band has been based in Tbilisi. All these things to read are posted in the forum. This week's geocapital number is 3.4%, which is Georgia's inflation rate this April. According to Geostat, year-on-year, for comparison, Armenia's year-on-year inflation rate during the same period is 4.4%, Azerbaijan's 2%, Turkey 5.4%, Russia 7.3%. This week's English language movie at the Roosevelt Valley Movie Theater across from Parliament are on Saturday the 10th of May and Wednesday the 14th of May, The Other Woman at 5:05. Amidani Movie Theater close to Philharmonia started daily screenings of English movies. This week until the 14th of May, you can watch Other Woman at 3:50, 7:45, and 10:30, Rio 2 3D at 5:30 p.m. For May, Dom Kino across from the Roosevelt McDonald's will be showing Friday the 9th of May, Floating Weeds, Saturday the 10th of May, Late Autumn, Sunday the 11th of May, and Autumn Afternoon. All movies start at 7 p.m. The next Works in Progress will be on the 14th of May at 6:15 p.m. Emily Knowles from CRC and the University of Edinburgh will present Stress Testing Territorial Conflict, Understanding Incentives and Barriers in Georgia's Resolution Process. The address is number 3 Kafsadze Street in Vake. Two classic Georgian movies will be shown at the 67th Cannes Film Festival in France. Blue Mountain, created by famous Georgian filmmaker Eldar Shangalaya, and The Color of Pomegranate, directed by Sergei Parajanov, are included in the Cannes Classic 2014 category. Blue Mountain has been digitized from its original negative. Both movies will be screened on the 18th of May. For additional info, visit festival-cannes.com. Any listeners go to that, please let us know. On the 10th of May, Europe Day 2014 will be celebrated in open-air Museum of Ethnography of the Georgian National Museum in Bakke Park. I'm sure everybody knows it. Participating embassies are Bulgaria, Czech Republic, France, Netherlands, Poland, and Sweden. They'll offer information stands, cultural activities, exhibition, and other activities. For a full program, visit the European Alumni Association of Georgia's Facebook page, which is facebook.com/EAAG. By the way, for those with an interest in Georgia, particularly those who have studied abroad in Georgia, now is a good time to get or renew your membership in the European Alumni Association of Georgia. You can check that out on their Facebook page. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tabilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, tabilpod.com, and we'll finish not with what you will think from the intro, but with the 1963 hit, Bob and Earl's Harlem Shuffle. You move
You know you scratch just like a monkey. Yeah, you do. Real, yeah. You slide into the limbo. Yeah, how low can you go? Shake, 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 shake the tail.